Welcome back to the Life on Target podcast. Your host, Nathan Spearing, here bringing you my episode, solo episode, on time. And I have been doing a lot of discussion about this lately in the more recent Focus episode, but I wanted to bring you some more incredibly practical stuff that I've been applying in my life with amazing results, but also sharing with other people and getting feedback that it is helping them immensely. So the way I see it, there are two major reasons why you aren't where you want to be in life. And the two major reasons are you're not allocating your time appropriately. And then the second one is you're afraid or have a lack of faith. So real quick, Bill Gates has a quote that says most people underestimate what they can do in 1 year, but underestimate what they can do in 10 years. And a lot of business people talk about how if you don't need money, you don't need that payout to come immediately, and it's something that you can keep reinvesting in your company. So instead of taking a paycheck, I'm going to put it back into product. And instead of taking a paycheck, I'm going to put it back into marketing. Instead of taking a paycheck, I'm going to put it back into hiring somebody that can help me grow this business. And if you can continue to delay that payout or that gratification, that and you keep discipline pursuit of that end state and reinvesting, that it's impossible not to win. And now business people use the monetary return as the measuring stick, but we as Christians have advantage over somebody who's just solely in the business sector in that we've been given the cheat codes on how things work down here. We know that God's word is perfect and it is provides a playbook for us. And we also understand by reading this book how God has woven all this together and how it works. So we're all able to, in a sense, take our horizon or that payout, and we're able to extend that for 1,000 generations. We're able to realize that the reality is I may work a 9-to-5 and make $26,000 a year, but raise 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 children in a loving home, loving my wife well in front of them, taking them to church, showing them what the reality is. And the payout, if you will, may not come until their great-great grandchild, and the payout being on a bunch of different metrics, and realizing that it doesn't have really anything to do with money in the long run, but it has everything to do with faithfulness spiritually and obedience to God. And then that cheat code that we have, that these business people that are endlessly pursuing monetary return and success, and they can never be satisfied, and they have to immediately, they sell their company for billions of dollars and then get depressed because their identity and their self-worth is what can I produce now and what can I produce that lasts beyond me. They know that they're going to die and they don't understand how it fits in the larger spectrum. We as Christians do. But that being said, I'm frustrated by a lot of Christians. And I did a tweet about this a couple weeks ago or a couple days ago about how I feel like most Christians are just running a bunch of errands. They're busy. They're doing all the things that the Canaanites are doing. They're going to ball practice. They're trying to get the good education. They're trying to get those paper degrees and get the next job and to repeat. And when you look at how a Christian spends their time compared to how someone who doesn't know the Lord spends their time. And I was listening to an interesting podcast with Tim Ferriss and James Clear. James Clear, the author of Atomic Habits, 10 million plus copies sold, the foremost recognized author and writer on habits, was saying that if you really want to see what's important to a person, just remove... like a helpful exercise would be to remove the words that they say and then look at their actions. And another way to say this is to look at their calendar. How are these people spending their time? And I honestly think if we stack up, what does the Christian life look like compared to the Canaanite, the heathen, the one that doesn't know the Creator, denies the Creator? When you overlay the calendars on each other, do they look different? Does what you do in a day look radically different than what just the normal person that doesn't believe the Lord does? Now, I'm not trying to disparage the way people are spending their time in the sense that if they don't know the truth and they're lost, but if they don't know the truth and they're lost and they're chasing after things that are of this world and that are perishing, and we know that we have an imperishable inheritance in Jesus Christ because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, will that not also change the way that we spend our time? If you look at, oh, okay, you know, wake up and get coffee. I didn't get to bed on time, and so I'm rushing off to the office. I work for a global corporation that hates everything I believe in and is contributing money to all these causes that are trying to destroy the biblical family, the actual real family, the way that God said a family is, where I'm building productive property for other businesses. I'm a corporate wage slave to this instead of finding someone that has like-minded beliefs and helping them build their household and their productive property. Abraham had 318 trained men that lived in his household, that ate of the produce of his field. Being an employee and working for someone is not bad. But if you're an employee and working for a household like Bezos, or a household like all the different, all these things, you're building and tending the flock of a evil household. And so, are you serious about when you spend your time working and making money, making sure that that work and that time invested is building something that also on the backside of what you're doing is supporting your values? And I think Christians need to be a lot better about how we allocate our work hours towards things. It's bigger than just work. I know that this is a business podcast primarily and about life and integrating business and family and things like that. So I'm going to immediately go there. But for me, what I had to do several months ago, I signed up, I'm paying thousands and thousands of dollars a month on education to get better, and realizing that I have to spend money to get access to certain people that have knowledge that I need to implement now. The belief that, as Alex Hormozi says, that bringing your future self to the present. So how can I speed up that process of growing into the person that I want to be? That's money. That's paying somebody who is an expert to spend time with me and to go through. And that's what we're doing for my construction company. We're getting under the hood. I'm transparent with everything with this guy, and he's an expert. I hire him to help me overhaul my construction business. But the first thing that we talk about is key relationships and how those key relationships get scheduled time-wise first. And I had a conversation with a brother in Christ that just started his own business about this yesterday. He's asking, I got these young kids. I'm feeling like I got to build this business. Is it just, you know, hey, I'm just going to miss out on the kids for now because I got to build this business? And from where I sit and what I've done with my business coach, no, you don't have to. That is a Pharaoh mentality. That is a make more bricks with less straw mentality. You don't have to forsake the calling and the responsibility that you have to be a husband and father, or a mother and a wife, or a son in a household growing up in underneath biblical authority, to try to hack the system and make the sacrifice now. That's entrepreneur culture. That's not kingdom-mindedness. Kingdom-mindedness is that I have enough time to do everything I'm authorized to do. And this is from my coach, Eric Beck, who's working with me on this and Founders Fire. It is a ability to say, God has given me 168 hours in the week, and that is enough time. And if you feel like there's not enough time, then you're doing more than you're authorized to do. And so what we did at the beginning, I'm starting, all right, let's get this business. Let's systematize. Let's get everything figured out, whatever. Okay, stop. Key relationships. And the way that he did it, hierarchy-wise, is God is the key relationship. My relationship with the Creator is the most important. And so that requires spending time with me growing, me praying, me reading the Word of God, me sitting still and listening to the still voice of the Creator, the Holy Spirit, seeking wisdom and applying that and doing that every single day. And then key relationships. And for me, that's my wife and my five children. And the reality is that there's not time for very much more after that as far as key relationships. That doesn't mean that there's not time to podcast. There's not time to have coffee with other men and mentor. But as far as the first tier, number one priority things, that's the hierarchy. Me, with respect to the Creator, enabling me to prioritize my wife and children. And we scheduled that. And I think I've talked about this a little bit, but I put that on the calendar. I'm going to do date night this night. We're going to do family worship and read. And the way that that works for me, and I explained this to the guy last night, from dinner until the kids go to bed is me. So every single night, we're almost, except for prayer meeting nights and a couple of little exceptions here and there, we're sitting down to dinner. We're eating together. We're hanging out. That goes into family worship, reading the Word, reading. Most recently, we're reading C.S. Lewis, The Horse and His Boy. Just finished that up the night before last. So I'm reading them good books. And then I'm putting them to bed and I'm praying for them. Now, is it messy? Am I losing my temper? Am I having to apologize to them before they go to bed? Say, hey, sorry. Yeah, it gets messy. But I'm there and I'm living it and I'm all in on that. And then I know in my mind, it's like from 5:30 till 8:39, I'm getting a dedicated 2.5-3 hours with my kids. And then my wife and I have a time where we sync every day and talk about what the day is going to look like. And I'm checking in at lunch. And then we have date night. And then we're actually setting aside time to design our house. So I've scheduled that. And now I know if I can knock out those things in my week and I can do those relationally and I'm waking up and I'm starting with the Bible, I'm doing this, I know that I don't have to have this insecurity of, oh, am I missing it? Am I chasing after this thing? Am I hustling, grinding, and now I'm missing out on the key things for my kid's life? I'm not, because I've sat down intentionally at the very beginning of how am I going to spend my time. And I'm going to allocate it first and foremost to the relationships that matter most. Now, the next side of that is the reality is the freedom that I get from allocating my time that way is the rest of the time I am producing, I am building. And that's where I think the next thing is that Christians be, oh, you know, prioritize God and me and all this kind of stuff. And then the rest of the time is mindless Instagram scrolling, chasing after the things of the culture, digesting all the media stuff and spending time chasing after, I want my kid to be a professional athlete and all these things that are distractions from producing at a high level for God's glory. So Kerry Newhoff talks about this. I talked about it in my Focus episode, but it's at your best is identifying where are the times of day that I can produce the most and that I am the best. And understanding what that is for you, doing a kind of an audit, and he calls it your green, yellow, and red zones. And I'm going to allocate the tasks that I believe are most important for the things I want to do during my green zone. And for me, for the longest period of time, I was allocating my mornings. Okay, I got to get the construction crew started. I got to do this kind of stuff. And I would get into the afternoon and not realize why I couldn't produce what my company needed me to do. I couldn't work on my business instead of in my business because I was in a yellow and I was in a red zone. I was zapped mentally because I had to run around. So I restructured my day and now I am knocking out 90 minutes of deep work. And this is essentially my second deep work cycle of the day where I'm recording this podcast. I need to get it out. So I got 90 minutes set aside to sit and focus. The phone is away. I've sent the quick text instructions to the crew, and I'm in this studio, and I'm recording this for you now. And the reality is, if I get a 5:30 or a 6 a.m. to 7:30, and then a 7:45 with the break till a 9:15, and then a 9:30 to 11, so I get three 90-minute cycles in of deep work, and I've scheduled that, and I put it on my calendar, and I know what the theme is, what I'm working on in my businesses, so I'm maximizing those three 90-minute cycles, deep work cycles like Cal Newport talks about in Deep Work, and I'm executing, I'm using my green zone, I know I got my time for my relationships, I'm producing, and I'm making headway strategically on what I'm trying to do. And I can pull up what it takes away from me, the fact that it's all scheduled in the calendars. I can pull my calendar up and I can look and I can say, okay, the next thing that I got to do is goals. I did income this morning, you know, I'll look tomorrow. Okay, I got to put some podcast posting stuff because it's going to go live. I got a break. I'm doing client updates, doing week in review with my team, doing a little bit of admin and billing, and then I'm heading back to the house. And so it takes away the fact that I've sat down and intentionally said for this month or this 90-day cycle, this is what's going to look like deep work-wise. These are the areas in a business that need the most attention. I'm going to allocate those. So I'm going to get two 90-minute sessions a week for the three areas of my business that need the most attention. I got podcasts. I got creativity stuff. I got personal growth time in there where I'm actually becoming better at being a general contractor. I'm studying this past week. I studied some alternative building techniques and some solar stuff and trying to figure out stuff for upcoming projects, just getting more technically experienced in things and then systematically working through and making my business better. And the reality of doing this is now, when somebody says, hey, can I get coffee? Or, hey, can I jump on a quick call with you? I am looking at my calendar and I was able to say, I got that scheduled. I know what's going on. I had somebody reach out to me and say, I want to help. Okay, I will be at church doing fellowship from these times. I've allocated that time to spend with the people that are in my inner circle before and after evening worship. You can find me at this time. This is the location. And let's talk. And I have defined that. These are the points in the week that's important for me to connect with other people, and I can invite other people into that, even if they're not in my church. Say, hey, meet me at the church. We're going to have a fire pit. We're talking about this. And I know when I have these requests on my time, I know where to put them. And Carrie Newhoff talks about how if most people go ahead 6 months, their calendar is open. And a lot of people view that as freedom. I got white space on my calendar. But the reality is that is going to enable other people and the evil one, if you're a Christian that's in and you're producing, the evil one's trying to enter in and take your minutes. He's not concerned about your hours or your days. He's going to take little minutes here, little minutes there. And it adds up to a lifetime of ineffective allocation of your time. And so now I have it in my calendar. Somebody makes a request on my time. I have certain windows that have been allocated. They're not in green zones. They're not in times that I've said, this is an important time for me to produce. And I'm able to say, yeah, here's the time I got available. Because I've spent my time, the limited time that I have, on the things that matter, and I know what's open and not. And essentially, kind of a good metric with my coach, I'm about, you should have about 80% of the hours that you're awake and even allocated, this is when I sleep, allocated to the tasks that are most important, and you should execute that 80% week the same every week. And that is back to that horizon, that time horizon. If you can be disciplined to allocate your time this way, and 80% of my week, and so my kind of goal is like, hey, I got three deep work cycles times 5 weekdays of the week. There's going to be some mess up. There's going to be, like this morning, my wife and I were just talking about some stuff, and I'm not going to end that because I got deep work, because I've also said this is a key time to have a relationship. So I understand it's a tension between, do I do a full 90-minute cycle of deep work on income this morning, or do I say, no, this, my wife is a key relationship, and I know what I'm supposed to do. I have on my perfect week, but I'm going to be able to just make a one-to-one substitution based on a much flatter plane or a much easier decision matrix than getting just yanked away. and you, oh, organic conversation's happening. I made my wife copy. We're standing there in the bus chatting. This is a great discussion. This is going to be the best way to spend my time. And I can jump in. I can get right into podcast prep, deep work cycle. I'm a little bit off, but it's okay. One deep work cycle. I got 12 this week, and you just know that I didn't make a substitution because of Instagram. I didn't make a substitution because somebody called me, and I'm becoming somebody that is on mission and going someplace where God has called me to go, and not somebody that's just running around and running errands and letting people just take their time and thinking, oh, I'm just serving. You're running errands, and how is that adding up to effectiveness? And obviously, relationship is more than just transactions and all this stuff, and I hope demonstrated where I can substitute and I can make these calls, but by and large, I'm looking at the tasks that I have to do, and I'm able to say, is this going to be able to fit? And I know where it fits. So somebody else is not stealing from me. It's fitting into the structure. And you can adapt that. But so it's literally taken me about 2 to 3 months of kind of chipping away at this and getting more and more effective to get that 80-90% solution for my week. And after even just 2 to 3 weeks of executing this, it's phenomenal what I'm able to accomplish. And even just the ability to go back and use some yellow zone time to get into these admin tasks, these meetings that just zap your attention a little bit. You schedule those in the afternoon. You've already got your core work done. If you're a night person, you flip it. You just have that control. Even if you're employed, Carrie Newhoff talks about this in the book, you still have control over the majority of how you spend your time, even if you're employed for somebody else. No matter what, there's a portion of your time that there's a little bit of control. And even if you can go to your boss and say, hey, I've noticed that can I come in at 5:30 and knock this out? And just adding some creative mindset to explain to your employer how if you read this book, you got better at it. You listened to this awesome podcast, Life on Target. This guy named Nathan was telling you, maybe he checks out the podcast too. I'm wanting to be more effective. I'm wanting to produce more for you as my employer to give more value. And I've done an audit of my time. And I think if I allocate it this way, it's going to help. It's going to allow me to produce more for you and ultimately better for the company. And what could we do here? And they're not going to say no. And they're not going to do it because it's ultimately for giving value to who you work for. And if they do say no and they crush it, then you need to go back and listen to the podcast about starting your business, and you need to launch your own dang thing so that you don't have to worry about this crazy boss that won't allow structure for this and can't see that. And so you have options. I talked about this, how I love Mondays, and several people talked about help. What do I do? It goes back to, the reality is you can allocate your time and you can spend it however you want, whether even with your work for somebody, 168 hours in the week and you're working 50 hours a week. Most people aren't. Most people say they are. Most people hustle grind. No, you're not doing that. You're not working that hard. You still have 118 hours of the week. Now you're sleeping, you're eating, you're doing these things, but even your employer does not control the majority of your time, and you have opportunity to invest it and to have it, and it's going to bring a yield. You extend that out horizon out long enough, you see, I'm investing in my kids, I'm investing in my wife, I'm investing in my community, I'm building these businesses, I'm creating value for customers, and I'm delivering, and I'm executing, and I'm staying on mission every week, and I'm not letting people pull me off because I've done intentional time with the Lord and said, this is what I'm here to do, this is what you've given me to do, and then you get it done. And then there's a tremendous freedom at the end of the day. When your head hits the pillow, you did it well. Or you know, hell, I messed up here, but guess what? I had a bunch of wins. Every day's not going to go perfect. And the sum of this week and the sum of this year and the sum of this decade drawn out generationally to 1,000 generations equals me being on mission, my children, my children's children, and continuing being on mission. There being a yield from that allocation and those investments made in relationships and in business that will be knit together by the Heavenly Father for an effective end state and victory in Jesus Christ now and forever. If you got any value out of this podcast, share it with a friend, shoot me a message, jump over to that, rate, and review feature on the podcast episode you're on. Give me 5 stars. Let me know how it's working out in your life. Shoot me a message and let me know how you are transitioning from being someone who is running a bunch of errands or on mission, making those changes in your life. Hopefully this was helpful. As always, have a good one.